My name is Val, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. Okay, I can do this. I want to thank Lisa and the committee for asking us to speak tonight. It is an honor and a privilege, and not one that I entirely enjoy. How about the wonderful speakers we have had so far at this convention? Where'd you go? You know, I'm just going to tell you the truth. It's really hard being the banquet speaker, because all the speakers previous to me have taken all my lines, took all my laughs, and then he told part of my story. What can I say? But you know what? I realize, you know, far from how life was when I got here, because I didn't even like how he smelled, much less be very close to him. But before we came down here today, we held hands up in our room, and we prayed that God, our higher power, would use us, and that you out there would hear the message that God would have you hear. And so if I believe that, and I believe that my God is bigger than all of this, then that's exactly what's going to happen. All I have to do is stand up here and tell my story and tell the truth. Now, my sponsor, when I told her that, she said, "Why would you tell the truth?" Thank you, Betty Ann. That's why she is my sponsor. So I am so thrilled to be here. And Larsine said, this is in my back door. Well, I need to tell you, you guys are in my neighborhood. And I've got 2.5 tables that are my peeps. My peeps that I see many times a week, that hold my hand, that let me cry, that let me hold their hand, and I get to shoulder their cries. And there is nothing better than that in the whole wide world. I get to tell you tonight, Steve being Steve, all the last week and a half said, "So what are you gonna say?" And you know, he comes from laughter and I go, "Well, what do you think? I'm gonna tell him what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today." And he'd go, "Oh." I said, "So what are you gonna say?" He says, "I don't know." But I do get to tell you that. I grew up in a very small town, same one he did, in Northern California. And I grew up in a home that was very Catholic, very, very Catholic. At least we appeared that way. And very Italian, very Italian. And that means that you're guilt-ridden and you can never do anything right. And that there's a swear word for everything, but only in Italian. You know, you never heard that word in English. But anyway, and I don't know if my father was an alcoholic. It's not for me to say. I know he on occasion drank, and whenever he did drink, he got very drunk. But it wasn't that frequent. But what my father was a rageaholic. And my dad's philosophy was, "I'm not going to be consistent because you're never going to know when it's coming." And so as a child, I didn't know if he walked through that door, if it was going to be ranting and raving, or everything was peaches and cream. And you just never know. And so I got really leery, but I have a really big mouth. And I was telling somebody today, oh, Denise, and I said, "That's why I have small feet, so they fit in my mouth really well." My mouth has gotten me in trouble forever. And there'll be more to come here. But anyway, so I got in trouble a lot. But what this, I knew they were just, everybody in my house was doing it all wrong. And they, if they would only suit up, show up, and do it right, my life would be better. Now, my life was really good for the first 5 years. And then something happened in my life, and I was never the same. And that was that my brother was born. Some of you grew up in Italian homes or Latin homes, and I think it's pretty much the same. But if you are male, you are close to God. And me having the personality that I did and do, I still can walk around with a resentment about my brother, you know? And he got all the love that I had for the first 5 years, except not my dad didn't like him very much, you know, but he didn't like anybody very much. And so what I went out from there is I was going to be the really, really, really good girl to get the I was hoping to get the accolades. Well, the other philosophy that my parents had is if you do really well and they're proud of you, they shouldn't tell you. So I didn't know about anybody being proud or happy with me until I was in my 40s. And then I heard it from other people. But my parents never told me that. Now, did that make me crazy? It just kinda, I reacted. That's how I reacted. I went to school, I went to Catholic elementary, high school, and university. And I tried real hard. I got really, really good grades. You know, the Catholic school, a lot of people complained about the nuns, and yeah, there was some stuff, but you know, I knew where I stood with the nuns, and they were all very nice to me. They really were. And there were rules and regulations and nothing changed, and I was good with that. I was really, really good with that. I know what to expect and knew what to do. But when I got, and so I did things like, you guys, in sixth grade, I'm 11 years old, and I put on, this is who I was, am. I put on a clothing drive for the victims of flooding in Northern California. And I pulled it off all by myself. Not by myself. I had everybody in the whole school donate clothing and housewares and got it shipped up to north of where I grew up. That's 11 years old, guys. And that's what I found. That got me a few accolades. So, man, I was hitting it hard. And, you know, my philosophy was if you work hard enough, you're going to get those accolades. So that's what I tried to do. And, but you know, you get tired working that hard. You really, really do. And I never felt like I was good enough, that I was smart enough, that I was coordinated enough, all those things. And, but I wasn't going to lend, nobody's going to know about that, man. I'm going to show you. And let me tell you, I will get in your face. I will get in your face. And there was a big, big fire burning in me that was anger. So let me tell you, do not piss me off. You know, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I went to high school, and in high school, there was this geek that was walking around following me around. And, you know, he was, yeah. And so I kind of would ditch here and there, you know what I mean? And so one day, though, I was going up the stairs and he was coming down. And I'm like, ugh. But then I noticed he was walking this really cute guy. And I said, okay, I'm not going to ditch. And he introduces me to this guy, and he is so handsome. And I really and truly, there was light that shined behind his head. And I heard a little bit of music. And I said, I am going to take him captive, man. And so within a few days, we had the freshman dance. And I bet my girlfriend, you know, I'm a manipulator. I am no different than an alcoholic, except I don't have the allergy. And so I attempt to manipulate and connive and get what I want one way or another. But I just look a little slicker than an alcoholic. I do it with a smile on my face, you know. Anyway, so I bet my girlfriend 25 cents that he wouldn't ask me to dance. And that was a surefire way that she would go to him and say, hey, dance with her so I can win the money. And he did. and I was done. I was done. My mother said later on that I came home and said, I've met the guy I'm going to marry. I'm 14 years old, guys, you know? But that began a relationship. It certainly did. And what began was the rockiest relationship on the planet. You see, I was coming from a place where I needed all the attention, all the love, and there was never enough in the whole wide world to fill me up. And so he paid me some attention. That was wonderful. You know, and he was a big football player, you know, a football star. Now, granted, you guys, and I was the cheerleader, but granted, you guys, we had this little tiny Catholic high school that made it very easy for us to be those things. And, but we didn't, we thought we were hot stuff on a river, you know. What could I say? But that's reality. But, and if he wasn't, now, if he got bummed out by, because our football team lost frequently, if he got bummed out because they lost, he would just get in a funk really bad. Or if he was paying too much attention to his friends, I knew exactly what to do. I would just get him to explode. And then we'd have to make up. And that was the good part. That's what I was going for. And that dance, if you call it, is something that we did for many, many years after. I knew exactly where to poke the bear to make him explode, to make him look like the bad guy, so I didn't have to be, sorta. And then he'd have to feel like caca and make up and say he was sorry, when really I initiated that. And if you get it, you're in the right place. Anyway, and he told the good part of our story. He, you know, we were in San Francisco in the early 70s, and our Catholic university was right down the street from the Haight-Ashbury. So the fact that our group only drank was really different. And I need to get on with this. Anyway, so we had a lot of drinking. My role and my one other girlfriend's role was in the morning, no matter where the people had passed out, we walk around with orange juice and aspirin. I have to, you know, I've heard a lot of wonderful things out of speakers, and so many speakers are such deep thinkers, and they know what they've wanted, and they knew how to do that. And, you know, I said to myself, I was never going to do that, never going to do that. Val is not, and never has been, a deep thinker. You know, when I went to go to college, I knew I wanted to go to college. My parents said, there's no reason you need to go to college. And I said, no, I really want to go to college. Well, they said, you have to go to a Catholic university. And I said, okay. So I applied. This is how deep I was. I applied to one Catholic university with a math major, because I was really good in math. And I applied to the other one with a nursing major, and decided that whoever takes me first, that's what I'm going to be. Deep, deep. So many of you know that I was in the nursing profession for over 40 years, and I loved my profession, and God knew God was doing for me what I could not do for myself. But God, I had thrown God out the window at that time. And it wasn't until right before I got into these rooms that I found my God again. Anyway, not a deep thinker. So what happened next? Okay, this is how it went. We had groups of girls, group of boys, and we all are like Catholic. So the boys had this supposed flat over here, and the girls had this supposed flat over there. That's not where we slept, but it was really good to have in case parents were visiting. So as we graduated, most of us got married to one another, okay? And so that's what I thought it was supposed to do. And I had hung out with him for long enough that that's what you were supposed to do, because that's what you were supposed to do, because I'm a deep thinker. And so we get married, and the next morning he's sleeping. I'm going, what the hell have you done? This is the morning after we got married. But I can't let anybody know that. I got to push it down and say, I'm okay. And then he told you that I knew something was really wrong. Something was really, really wrong. And the other thing, not only am I not a deep thinker, but I'm really good about living in denial. So something was wrong. I didn't know what it was. I kind of sort of recognized that he was drunk a lot, but so what? When my husband drank, he sat on the couch. Now, if you came into our home when he was drinking, he was on the couch. Val, on the other hand, was running around like a chicken with her head cut off. You know, I was trying to keep the girl. Oh, that's another story. I got to go back. Okay. Anyway, we're trying to keep the girls quiet and trying to make the food okay and the house clean enough and nee, because you never know when dad's going to get up off the couch and throw something or start yelling. And so if you walked into our home, he was not the problem. Val was the problem. Between that and me poking the bear, that I would like to say it was all the alcoholic. He was a real jerk. But you know what? I had a really big part. And somewhere down deep inside of me, I knew that. In the meantime, my ways of fixing it was not only for us to fast and have a yellow house and to be vegetarians, but it was also to have a baby. And then let's real quick have another one, because, you know, it's something to keep me busy. And then a couple of years later, let's have another baby. And I'm not a happy girl. And these kids are driving me crazy. I love them, but they're driving me crazy. Anyway, I need to get into program right now. Anyway, we had to buy a station wagon to carry all these kids around. And then we're going, moving down to Southern California, away from my entire Italian family. I don't know, that was a real blessing, actually. Especially the fact that my brother stayed in Northern California. And anyway, things got worse down here. I didn't know anybody here. I had these three little girls. I thought, okay, I'm going to get on a... Those of you who know me know I'm not Susie Homemaker. I don't cook. I don't clean if I have to. Blah, blah. Don't have to. And I got on a schedule that we're having this to eat now and then to eat that. And then I'm cleaning the bathrooms on this day. That was going to fix it. Nope, it didn't fix it. So then we went to a counselor and I said, he's never around. He doesn't even know when the kids' birthdays are. He doesn't know. The kids don't know who the hell he is. Oh, excuse me. And I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. He's just absent. And this counselor, what I heard was, you know, you need to get a life, Val. Go get busy. Get involved in this new land of Southern California. So when you tell somebody like me to get involved, I become a Girl Scout leader, not of one troop, but of two. And the second one is a handicapped troop because, you know, I'm a pediatric nurse. And I get on one PTA board. Now, not just one, because I have girls in all levels of school, you know? So I get on two. What more can I do? Oh, I think I'll go back to work. Yeah. And so that you put that on top of poking the bear and running around trying to make it look and feel okay, and I am one crazy lady. So what happened in my life is I went back to school to become a nurse practitioner, and I did really well. And I need to tell you that all of a sudden I saw that I was becoming my mom. I could make life and death decisions at work, no problem, no problem, got it. I worked in the NICU with high-risk children, and I could make those decisions nothing flat. But if I was going out to dinner with my husband and he said, do you want a table or a booth? I was afraid to try and figure out what I should say. And I thought, oh my God, you're becoming your mother. And then a few things happened. I was working with children with cancer, and a little five-year-old was dying of leukemia. And I was rocking him. And Bobby knew he was dying, but I was rocking him and he said, you know what, Val? I know I'm dying, but it's gonna be okay. And he proceeded to tell me about his relationship with his higher power. And my life at that time, I knew my marriage was in the toilet. I had been in a really bad car accident and by all means should have been killed, but I wasn't. And, I better talk fast. Between all those things, I knew that God was the answer. And I started going to church. I had the courage, and let me tell you, it was courage to ask him to leave. Because you know, Catholics don't do that stuff. At least the rules in my head said Catholics don't do that stuff. So he had to leave. And I got to Al-Anon, and I can't tell you why I came. I came because I think I sort of maybe wanted to know what to do if I ever got back together with him again, but I didn't really like him. So I don't know what, you know, one more time, God got me to these rooms when I couldn't. And so I started doing what you guys told me to do. You know, I cried for the first, I don't know how many meetings that I went to. And I got a sponsor. I started working the steps. I was ready. That little niggling thing way down here that I would never recognize was telling me that something was wrong with me. Something was really wrong with me. And so I was really willing because I just didn't want to live that way anymore, you know? And I got into Al-Anon and Steve got into AA and we lived happily ever after. That's the end. Not so much. And as Steve kind of told you, I was in Al-Anon for about 6 years when Steve got laid off from his job. And what I saw was a man that decided he wasn't going to go to program anymore. And if you have never experienced a dry drunk, it is not a fun deal. And the behavior in my mind got really ugly. When your children come to you as the mom and says, don't ever leave him here when you're not here, I thought, okay, it's not just me. And so I had one more time, I had to ask him to leave the house. By this time we have teenagers and you know, it was a really tough time. The year, I didn't know what to do during that year. And thank God for Peg and her husband, Dave, almost every day I ended up at their house and had to cry and talk and they held my hand. I kept on hearing, if you don't know what to do, if you're not hearing from your God what you should do, do nothing. Now, if someone had told me it would take a whole flipping year, I would have told them, go fly. You know, that was the longest year of my life. But I asked him to leave. And, you know, in the meantime, I have teenage girls. I got one that shaves her head. I got one that ran away from home. I got another one that starts hooking up with, not hooking up, that sounds bad. Well, she probably, yeah, she was. Anyway. She got together with this guy that was trouble with a capital T. And the best advice I can give you is if you have teenage girls, do not tell them they cannot see their boyfriend, because it drives them together. And this guy ended up shooting her eye with a BB gun, had to get him out of an AA meeting to meet us at the hospital, and she married him later on. You know? My life today is really great. I have a really, really good life. No, you'd never know it. I just left you with that kind of crap. Anyway, we'll do. Give me five. Anyway, I lost my train of thought here. You know, I heard a lot of things from Dimitri and also from Alec today about the effect of the alcoholic home on children. And it really got to me at a really deep level. You see, I have three daughters that all were married. Two out of those three daughters married men that were not so wonderful. One was a drug addict and alcoholic, and the other one was a sex addict. You know, the one that was a sex addict was a pastor. And so, fooled you. Anyway, and the one that is still married to the original husband is an angry lady. She's getting a little bit better, but she's 45 years old, and she's an angry lady. And that's probably far more things that affected them they haven't told me about. But I need to tell you that I do have a wonderful life today. I love my husband dearly. And it's only through the programs of AA and Al-Anon that I got to love him. I need to tell you that during all these crazy butt times, I've had to use my sponsor a lot. I was more than willing to work the steps to the best of my ability. Now, when I got here, there was not much Al-Anon literature. There really wasn't. So fifth and sixth step, you know, it was like, read that page right there, and there you go. Bow your head, you got the sixth and seventh step. And it's the truth. And so, you know, I now go with the ladies that I am honored and privileged to sponsor. I go through the Drop the Rock. It's not Al-Anon approved. Anyway, because that is a really comprehensive way to know about the sixth and seventh step. And I do have the honor and privilege of sponsoring some ladies. And they are all gifts in my life. They really, really are. They have helped me grow. They have helped me love and be loved. And my sponsor, I have a quick, okay, sponsor talk. If you don't have the same sponsor forever, there's many of us that did not as well. I have gone through a slew of sponsors because they move away. They stop going to Al-Anon. They stop going to Al-Anon. They die. I have had two sponsors that died. And I had one sponsor that had to care for her husband. And I can't go very long without a sponsor. And I have had my current sponsor for about 15 years, and she has saved my butt. I need to tell you that after 20 years in the program, I did not get well fast. I got brought up in charges after I've done a lot for my employer. I've started a lot of outstanding programs for children with attention deficit, autism, and new moms and babies. And I was brought up on charges of creating a hostile work environment because I raised my voice with an employee that had made an error with one of the babies, one of my patients. So I was suspended, and I worked for a big organization, and even after my suspension, you know, geez. Anyway, I had to go to anger management classes. And I walk into that anger management classroom, and it's given where I am employed. I walk in, I'm the only female. Thrilled me. I know, I gotta go. All right, so I'm a slow study. But you know what? I keep on coming back. Oh, did I give you kudos, Betty Ann? Okay. I keep on coming back because I'm not all well yet. I am a work in progress. You guys help me every day. The relationships I have in here, I'm gonna cry because I love so many of you I see around the room. You have saved my butt, and you've saved our marriage. When Steve said AA's kept him, you know, gave him a life, but Al-Anon saved his life, it's because I was gonna kill him if I didn't get into Al-Anon. I want to thank you and thank my God for Al-Anon and thank Al-Anon for my God. Thanks for letting me share.